It is time for a Gaza Corner, and tonight we've got a guest that I will pass the mic to. It's Jim Haber, who's reporting back from his second delegation with the Center for Jewish Nonviolence under the banner, Occupation is Not Our Judaism. And Jim will talk about the Sumat Freedom Camp and also about Issa Amro, who is being referred to by many people as the Palestinian Gandhi in Palestine. So, Jim, welcome to Gaza Corner. Welcome back. And take it away, man.
Thank you, Dory. It's great to be with you. And it's great to be back. It was good to be back in Palestine with the Center for Jewish Nonviolence. Went last July and then again in May. And I have to say, the time before that, in 2006, I was just looking back at something I wrote, being in Bethlehem and the occupied territories in Israel. And a lot of the observations then are just amplified now. So that's kind of disheartening. But there was a lot of positivity also in seeing new alliances form and reform between Palestinians, urban and rural, between Jews from the diaspora, as well as Jews from within Israel. So people are trying to work together, putting aside whatever differences. So that was good to feel. Last year, there were 40-something of us. This time, there were 130 almost. And our Israeli partners were able to come in and make it to the site of our action. Last year, our big action day was trying to clear out a closed factory. It shouldn't have been a closed factory, but Israel closed it in the 1990s. And our host and an amazing leader, we'll talk more about, Issa Amro, and Youth Against Settlements, wanted to turn the building into a movie theater, which they haven't had since the 1930s. And we spent a day doing that, and it got declared a closed military zone and all this. And that was one day of big action. This time, we helped create Sumud Freedom Camp. And Sumud is Arabic for steadfastness. It's sort of an approximation word, and it's got some interesting creation. Sumud, but Sumud Freedom Camp we created in the South Hebron Hills in the late 90s. A whole community of 1,300 or 1,400 Palestinians were forced out by Israel. Israel wanted to take the land to make a firing zone, a military training camp. At some point, a settlement of Jews moved in, and they sort of notched out a little area to be not in the firing zone for them, but the Palestinians are told not to be able to go there. But there were some court rulings that made it that actually the Palestinians should be able to go there. They can't just declare it closed. And so after 20 years, we were helping a landowner there, Fidal, reclaim a couple of caves, and they needed international support. Palestinians go to their land and they get chased off by settlers, and they needed the power. So there was a lot of inspiration. Like, people would talk about connections to other places like Standing Rock, and yet Standing Rock, the Native Americans were really and saying, you know, we're doing this, people can come and join us. Whereas here, unfortunately, the Palestinians were saying, we actually need some help. We need people to come en masse because we're not even allowed to venture on our own land.
So if they're not allowed to venture on their own land, but there have been court rulings saying they can, I'm confused.
Well, the problem is that the law gets ignored by settlers and by the military. For example, we were going to a work group I was with earlier in the trip when we were broken into small parts. We went to a lookout to look at a neighborhood in Jerusalem, and some border police said we couldn't go there and they were closing it. But they didn't have the authority to do that. But it didn't matter. They, you know, mm-hmm. So we stayed for a minute and then we had to leave. So the law, so in the middle of the night, we got there Friday to set up the Freedom Camp, led by Issa Amro, Youth Against Settlements, Samuel Wad, Holy Land Trust, a bunch of popular committees from some of the small villages in the South Hebron Hills coming together, like never before, not for in a long time. And then we set up camp, and then that was Friday. Saturday night, the Israeli military came in. At some point, some settlers from the nearby settlement, Ma'on, came over and were scoping us out. They flew a drone, even though it's supposed to be a closed thing, but the settlers could fly their drone with a camera to look at us. And the military personnel said, well, we don't even see it when they came around. But in the middle of the night, they came. They stole tents. They stole our generator. They ripped up a shade structure that we had created. It was chilly, but we were holding space nonviolently, led by leaders of Center for Jewish Nonviolence and Issa Amro.
You mean arm in arm, kind of?
We linked arm in arm because they weren't allowed to really go in there. You know, they say it's a firing zone and we're not allowed there. The court says otherwise. And they didn't just force us out, but they didn't go through the process of declaring it a closed military zone. And so we were part of what, and let me emphasize, the 120 of us or so were not interacting with the military aside from sort of chanting. For the most part, we let that be to the leaders, and we were following the lead of the Palestinians, who they remain behind when we all leave, right? So It's their consequence first and foremost. So it's their lead that we are following, and that's the agreement, and it's a good understanding.
How civil were the were the military in dealing with you? Were they physical? Were they punching people? Were they more polite or what?
Some of our people got dragged and pushed and pulled, injured a bit. No one too bad there. Nothing like Jerusalem Day a couple 8 days later when the Jerusalem police broke my friend Sarah's arm, one of her arms. But there was a lot of pushing and shoving, and we were. Some of the soldiers we could talk to a little bit, and others were kind of being pompous and offensive.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't interested in engaging, but they also weren't interested in arresting. They just wanted to take some of our stuff and make it uncomfortable, it seemed. They ripped up a shade structure, but then the next day, Sunday, we were able to clean up and put up the shade structure near this person's tent, cave rather, Fadal. So his family actually could move into this cave that they had to vacate. And this is the big deal because the camp has continued. This cave, people have lived there for over a month, and we didn't know if it would last a night. So this is inspiring Palestinians. It's inspiring us. It's inspiring.
These are Bedouins?
I believe these are Bedouins. Some of the communities in the South Hebron Hills are Bedouins.
So when they, before 1997, before they were evicted, they lived in caves. This is how they lived, which are actually, it's a good place to be in that area because a cave can be warm during the winter and cool during the summer. And you know, it's actually a good place, you know, to be.
Right.
I read one article where he had his key that he'd had for 20 years or more, and he actually went to the same door to the cave and tried to open it after all this time and was able to do so, which is amazing.
Yeah, well, the keys in Palestine, it's a huge symbol for Palestinian right of return. And yeah, so it was amazing to meet Fadal, to help him. They started making pita bread in their oven for the first time since 1997. And our work party helped put concrete in the floor of one of their caves, which was great. And we cleared a lot of weeds. We did path restoration. And really important also was helping pave a road because to get water to these communities. So the Jewish settlements have full hookups. You know, they've got electricity, they've got water, they've got sewage. Palestinians are not allowed to have that. Their master plans, when they want to build in their villages, they're denied. And so anything over 30 centimeters high is subject to demolition orders, even solar panels. Hmm. So there's, to get water to these communities, they have to like hire a tractor because it's rough road. And it's like 7 to 10 times more expensive than if the road is paved and someone can come in with a pickup truck with water. So paving a road partway is really important for this existence is resistance. It's really inspiring. It's depressing the abuse that the Palestinians are subjected to. It's inspiring their steadfastness, their resilience.
And are internationals there all the time now? Is that why the Palestinians are still able to be at Camp Samut? Or, I mean, are they always there?
There are still people there. As it goes on, we just keep pushing the benchmark longer. So we wanted to be there a day, we hope. Then we wanted to be there till Sunday. And then most of us left. But Israelis and internationals have been shuttling in. Some have been spending the night. Some Palestinians from nearby communities have been coming by more often. And
but is the fear that if the internationals just can't keep having a presence all the time, that the person that you were helping specifically and other people that may be coming back there will be evicted?
I guess the expectation is at some point people won't be allowed to be there. But it's not yet. The settlers come around and scope it out.
And these are ideological settlers as opposed to the settlers that are incentivized through economic subsidies. The ideological settlers are far more, from my understanding, far more violent because they believe that they have a religious right to all the land. So they're more abusive than settlers who are there because it's just a better, living situation. But they are much more, I think, willing to coexist. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Certainly the wells, the Palestinian wells, have been poisoned in the past. A couple of wells that we were around obviously were being used, so that's good. But in the past, the settlers did. That's just a horrific thing to even contemplate, is poisoning someone's well in the desert. But that was one of the things that was happening in the past.
Let's transition, because time is tight, to Issa Amro, because he's a really important figure, as well as there's a real time-sensitive issue.
Right. So Issa Amro, talked about him last year also. And I just want to thank you for this opportunity, and also to point people to tangents.com, because the Gaza Corner section has a lot of links to some great articles by my other people on the trip who have already written articles that have been published. And you've got a good collection of them up there, which is really helpful. And about Issa,
that's right on the homepage. It will migrate to the archive, but right now it's on the homepage, and also the links are at the playlist.
So Issa, met him last year. He came through and did some speaking tour. He has another court date, July 4th, for trumped-up charges. He's facing 18 charges now. And actually, U.S. pressure, even U.S. governmental pressure, has helped. John Kerry, Dianne Feinstein, and even the current State Department. He's such a nonviolent person. He's a Gandhi devotee, and he lives it. Being in confrontation with the military, I'm behind him with other people, and he's telling them that, no, we don't have to leave. You can't take our stuff. He's arguing with the soldiers in the dark after they turn the generator off. He's giving us directions. He's saying, cover the food. He's joking, but he's serious. He's being pushed. He's being pulled. Other leaders, Isaac Cates-Rose, amazing Center for Jewish Nonviolence leader, Ethan, other people. We were split in a couple groups, and it was very chaotic. And we're yelling, like, the whole world is watching. The whole world is watching. And Issa Amro, he's just got this positive but strong energy. And there's some clips of him welcoming us. You feel he's not going to hurt you, but he's big, and Israel is scared of him, like they were scared of Mubarak Awad in the 1980s, who they exiled and lives in Washington, D.C. now. The nonviolent activists, they do have a harder time dealing with than Hamas. And just, you know, there was a hunger strike going on, and this is a nonviolent tactic of political prisoners when we were there also, and this ties in because, again, it's a nonviolent strategy, and if as John F. Kennedy said, if you make peaceful revolution impossible, you make violent revolution inevitable. And that's what's going on here. So people there, Palestinians and Israelis, like, well, I hope the hunger strike works because otherwise, you know, if Hamas can get some prisoners released, you know, by releasing one Israeli soldier and get 1,000 Palestinians, even if Israel picks them up later again illegally. But, you know, that looks good for Hamas. So we need the nonviolent strategies and tactics to succeed for God's sake, for peace sake. So Issa Amro, there's information on the Tangents website.
I should say that
pink.org/stand_with_Issa.
Yeah, I would just point out that there's a New York Times op-ed, which is actually from January, that's on the Tangents homepage, and it quotes, first of all, it points out how absolutely ludicrous these charges are. They're so absurd, they're laughable. However, Palestinians don't go through the same jurisdiction process as settlers. Settlers have a civil court. Palestinians go through a military court, which has like a 99.9% conviction rate, no matter how politically charged and bogus the charges are. And Issa Amro's lawyer echoes what you just said, Jim. He said, Israel manages very well regarding how to act against violence, but Israel hasn't found a good way to fight nonviolence. And Amro says, quote, they don't want civil disobedience because it's the best methodology to defeat them. That's from an article, actually. That's not from the op-ed of the New York Times. Those quotes are from Peter Beinart's article in Forward. But also the New York Times op-ed does a very good job of explaining why these charges are absolutely ludicrous and how truly amazing this person is. And as you say, if you have Dianne Feinstein supporting you, that is big because, I mean, she's a major Israel supporter, yet she understands that these are the kinds of people that should not be put in prison.
So the congressional sign-on letter is important to get at. If you go to codepink.org, you will find it there. And sign on. And there's also like UN letters of support. There's a determination by the European Union that he is a human rights defender. That's an actual thing in quotes. And so check that out, codepink.org for Standing with Issa. And we want to do that now. The court date's July 4th, but the letter is going to be delivered this coming week. Another really important thing to know is hashtag We Are Sumud, S-U-M-U-D. We Are Sumud, S-U-M-U-D. And you can get more information about Sumud Freedom Camp. The community in down is Sarura, S-A-R-U-R-A. You'll see that from the Tangents website. And then I just want to point to my blog because this last missive that I send out, approximately monthly missives, has a lot about Jerusalem Day, which was really intense, and also has a video, a short clip of Issa talking to us when we first got to Sumud Freedom Camp, welcoming us, talking about the importance of nonviolent discipline and how right we are to be there. Because like you said, 99.74% conviction rate can't be right. That's like impunity here for police shooting black people.
Exactly.
And there it's actually legal. Here, they're not supposed to be able to do that, but they do. There, Palestinians in the West Bank are considered guilty until proven innocent under the law, whereas anyone else is not. We would be considered innocent until proven guilty. You have a different system. I don't know what you want to call that, but that's a separate legal system if you're a Palestinian from the West Bank or you're anyone else, and that ain't right.
Issa Amro could go to prison for many, many, many years on ridiculous, stupid, made-up charges. Take a look at these links. Take a look at the one, especially the Code Pink link. It takes a moment. It takes a minute to call your representative or to email your representative and just say, you know, whatever's in your heart. But, you know, someone who's committed no crime and is actually the prototype of the way someone should resist, should be encouraged and not put behind bars. Jim, I want to thank you. You saw a film very recently. That'll be the music for Gaza Corner tonight, called Junction 48. I was going to go with you, but then ended up not going. So give me a quickie on the film, and we'll get to the music.
Yeah, that was an amazing film, directed by Udi Aloni, with Tamer Nafar and Samar Kupti in the leads. There's a great interview with Tamara, hip-hop artist from Lud, and Udi Aloni on Democracy Now! From a few months ago. It really gives you a sense of the oppression, or the difference, the second-class citizenship that the Palestinian Arabs face who live in Israel itself. Some great hip-hop music. You get a lot of interesting insight into internal Palestinian cultural differences within life there. And it was really interesting. Just also, so many people in the world don't consider themselves political, and yet just to exist is to resist. And for Palestinians, it's really a big thing, just to remain there and to live and have lives and culture is, unfortunately, to resist. It shouldn't be. It should just be what we all do. But for them, existence is resistance, and I stand with them. And I want to encourage everyone to go. If Center for Jewish Nonviolence has another trip, go.
All right, this is the theme to Junction 48. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Dory.
لنذهب كما نحن عاشقة حرة وشاعرة لنذهب معا في طريقين مختلفين لنذهب كما نحن متحدين ومنفصلين لنذهب معا
اكتب لك اغنية حب ملانك لشهاب ببدأ كل اشي واشي وببلم بالاشي هاد بدك خيّة بوصب المطر بطن ترجف بس بكره المطر تراوما سقف بتلف بحط طناجر كل القرن المي في كل الغرف فصلت لي فل الركب بدي صد النقط بحط اغنية الحب بالجرور بتعود تروق بعد ما فوق كل الوقت فاق صفيت مفلولة عتقتك اطلعيني من الشارع دخلك غطيني في ملابسك خايف فبين ريان وضعيف انا جنبك اطردي مني جن الفائر اطردي مني جن القاهر اطردي مني شعور في شي بكره اطردي مني جن السم اطردي مني دين البنك اعطوني لكنه في شي بكره يا ريت يا ريت يا ريت اكتب لك قديش حبيتك بلا شي طار لاني عم بشكي من حيط وببني حيط بيني وبينك يا ريت يا ريت يا ريت اكتب لك قديش حبيتك يا ريت يا ريت يا ريت يا ريت يا ريت محمود درويش كتب بنصير شعب لما الشاعر يكتب وصف اباحي لبطن راقصة الله يرحمكم بزودها بنصير شعب لما بطن الراقص وصف اباحية عايدين شاعرة فبكتب ضد الشرف اللي كتبه الذكور ضد حصار غزة ضد اللي قطع النور بكتب للمخيم ضد الريس بالقصور حاليا أغنية الحب لاجئة في الجرور وانا لا عتبتك لاجئ فاكريني الظلم مش حاجة بل حاجز نزلي لي ملابسي بلمسك مستعد تبين ريان وضعيف انا جنبي حطي في جن الناضج حطي في جن الواثقة ما خاف عليكي ولا خافك حطي في جن العاشق حطي في جن الطائرة اللي طالف في الارض وفي شفافي
لنذهب كما نحن عاشقة حرة وشاعرة لنذهب معا في طريقين مختلفين لنذهب كما نحن متحدين ومنفصلين
تعبنا من هناك مع منار سلامة بحكي معك زلمة قبل زلمة بس الزلمة اللي بتفهم خليناش ندور منار احنا بنحب الطيور
أه قبل ما تفضل ما كانت عايشة نسرت قصتها بالعكس من الجريمة للولادة شثتها خفصت من الحفرة لحفت الأرض طلعت العظم من جبينها وانبلعت بالفرد صدى صوتها صرخ وهي ردت عليك دموعها تصعد من الخد للعينين من ورا غمة الدخان وجوه العيلة أخوها بلا خجل حط الفرد بالجيبة عزب المجراح ودهن عرق عجبينه بهزت راس اكتفى من القبر ومقاييسه جروها على السيارة هي تضرب أقدامها كعاصفة رمال تمحي أفر بعثاتها دخلوها على البجاج مش عارفة لوين بس عارفة انهم طلعوا ثلاثة وراجعين اثنين وصلوا البيت رموها بعنف على التخيط صحوها بطريقة كانت تحلم نعكس حياتها علينا بركن نفهم عارب الساعة تتحرك من اليمين لليسار بتراجع خطواتها مثل اللي تاهت المسار نامت جاهزة كم من قرش للتاكسي تذكرة وجواز سفر تحت الوسادة الجواب خلي الأواعي بالخزانة بتلبس حياة جديدة وإذا سألوها لإيش الحقيبة واستأذنت للنوم قامت عن الطاولة أكلت منيح مجبورة تمثل اليوم الأنف وقف نزيفه هيك مبين لهم بس الجرح طري قبل ما يثبتوها حتثبت لهم إمها عتبتها حياتك جنة صدقت لما ندوق الممنوع فيش إشي بتخبى ساعتين قبل عشا السماء انطرت اللي من صدمة
طيارة أجر
ما تجاوب ما نستقبل صار قصتها كان معايير بحياتها العكس ايديها بالوجه طلب النجدة ايدين اللي حواليها بالوجههم بيقرأوا الفاتحة ورقة الرزنة من قلبك يوم لورا ساعد مسا نقاش يدرها اخوها قمر شلل دم بيجري من شفايفها ومن صب الانف صوت لكبه من وجهها انطلقت ايدي لاول مره بحياتها بترفض اما اعلنت بفرح بكره بن عمك جاي يطلب اذا بمسك البوم حياتها بقلب فبصطف صوره فيها اي مخدم موقف مستصحب صفحاتي بايدي تلسم الماضي ملطخ بدم وعيوني تمه بس وعدكم من الجريمه للولاده وجوههم خاطبه كانه خبروهم جريمه
اجتكم بنا
البدايه